Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome back to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman this week. I'm joined in studio by Fred Jackson, and now Steve Jordahl joins us.
The bullpen.
Yeah.
There you go.
We're getting ready to go on the field.
A reliever. I'm a closer.
Yeah. Well, I need some relief.
That's you. Yeah.
It's been, I just told Steve that we've been beating up on the communist Chinese for 45 minutes. And you know what? I feel mighty fine about
that.
There you
go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait till they start hitting back.
Well, Steve Jordahl is the one who's about to start talking now.
Yeah, I got problems.
J-O-R-D-A-H-L.
I've got problems.
You got problems?
I do.
Yeah.
I just noticed that there are two large bumps on my car battery. So I had them tested. One of them tested positive.
Oh, man.
I hope it's not terminal.
Oh, Steve. you've been hanging out with J.J. Jasper, it sounds like. That's right out of the dad joke playbook.
I don't know. I like
it's terminal, jokes. Huh? All right. Well, I hate to be so negative about what you're joking around about, but see, I just did it.
All right, let's move on.
I did it.
All right.
Get us started,
all right,
Steve.
So,
slow us down, whatever you want to do.
We have an update on a story I just want to bring you before we get on to other things, if you don't want to stop here. But you remember they had that whole blow up at Stanford Law School when Circuit Judge Kyle Duncan visited?
Yes.
And the place went crazy, and the Dean of Equity Division and Inclusion, Diversity and Inclusion, Tyrion Steinbach came up and continued. Well, she's lost her job.
Really?
At least she's on leave. And the university has issued a statement. I want to set expectations clearly going forward. Our commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusion is not going to take the form of having the school administration announce institutional positions on a wide range of current social and political issues, make frequent institutional statements about current news events, or exclude or condemn speakers who hold views on social and political issues with whom some or even many in our community disagree. I believe that focus on these types of actions as the hallmark of an inclusive environment can lead to creating and enforcing an institutional orthodoxy that is not only at odds with our core commitment to academic freedom, but also we create an echo chamber that ill prepares law students to go out into and act as effective advocates.
I'm shocked by that, Fred. I'm just going to be honest. I'm shocked that this was Stanford Law?
Stanford Law School.
Stanford Law put out something so commonsensical when it comes to what we see on a lot of college campuses and administrations collapse. They cave to the woke mob.
Well, talk is cheap.
That's true.
Talk is cheap. Let me see it happen.
Yeah.
When
you invite the next someone who may have a conservative point of view to that law school, I want to see students sit there politely and listen to what the other side has to say about the issues without trying to chase them out.
And if they do, kick them out.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it would take to stop that from happening.
Yes.
And say, listen, if you don't agree with the speaker, either don't go.
Yes.
Or if you do go, listen politely.
Mm-hmm.
If you interrupt
and
you try to shout it down and you not just cause a scene, but basically foment a riot.
Yep.
We're kicking you out of school.
That's right.
You lose your spot in the law school.
That's right. That's
what. Guess what? End of story. That won't happen anymore.
That's right.
One of the other reasons that Stanford might be going this direction is just wait the first time one of these snowflakes that graduates gets into a court and shouts down a judge or a witness that's saying something they don't like. What law school did you go to? Well, I went to Stanford. They don't want that.
Yeah, and I will say that's a good point, Steve, because law schools are different than just your regular undergraduate. More ways than one.
All of them should take Fred's tack, but yes.
But that reputation of churning out lawyers who are, or at least students, they have to pass the bar to be lawyers, but churning out students who are prepared to be in the courtroom, that's a reputation you don't want to lose, because you're talking about losing law clerks, your law firms not wanting to hire your students. that means fewer people want to go to your law school.
Law school is a prestigious institution on campuses of major universities like Stanford or Harvard. And to follow up on this point, I have the story of one Biden nominee who maybe wasn't paying attention in law school. This is President Biden has put forward a nominee for a trial court, federal trial court. His name is Cato Cruz. And all judges, federal judges, have to go through Senate confirmation.
Right.
And so sometimes the other party fights back and says, we don't like you. Sometimes it's okay. I mean, you can't object to them all. But Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana was talking to this guy and wanted to know his opinion on a fairly foundational, at least for a lawyer, legal issue. And so he had this following conversation, cut 9.
Tell me how you analyze a Brady motion.
How I analyze a Brady motion?
Yes.
Senator, in my 4.5 years on the bench, don't believe I've had the occasion to address a Brady motion in my career.
Do you know what a Brady motion is?
Senator, in my time on the bench, I've not had occasion to address that, and so it's not coming to mind at the moment what a Brady motion is.
Do you recall the U.S. Supreme Court case, Brady v. Maryland?
I do recall the name of the case, the Senator, yes.
And what did it hold?
I believe that the Brady case Senator, I believe the Brady case involves something regarding the Second Amendment. It is not, I've not had occasion to address that. If that issue were to come before me, I would certainly analyze that Supreme Court precedent and apply it as I would need to the facts in front of me.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, I'm not a lawyer and I never went to law school, so I might have made the confusion between a Brady motion and the Brady Act. The Brady Act has to do, is named after the police officer that was wounded and eventually died in the Ronald Reagan shooting.
Right.
And it's a gun control issue. But a Brady motion is something that lawyers bring up all the time. It's a foundational principle that if the defense or if the prosecution has some evidence that exonerates or looks well or somehow mitigates the case against a defendant, they have to give it to the defendant's lawyers.
Right.
They can't hide evidence that could, prove this guy innocent or less culpable. You have to give it up, and that's basic U.S. law.
That's from a Supreme Court case in like the early 60s. It should be as well known as Miranda rights, mm-hmm. Here's the reason why, is because the investigators of a crime, and then the prosecutors who will prosecute someone indicted for a crime, they oftentimes have sole possession of the evidence. In other words, you don't hire a defense attorney until you've been charged with the crime. The police, or, in a federal case, the FBI, whatever, they're the only ones. You ever see the television shows with the yellow tape across a crime scene?
Mm,
you can't cross it. The police are the ones who are investigating. They are gathering all the evidence. And if they are investigating a murder scene and they find the accused's blood on a knife, but also find somebody else's blood on the knife, you can't hide that. And that's what a Brady motion is all about.
I almost heard the theme to Law and Order right there when you were talking.
Dun-dun.
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 What was the name of this nominee?
His name was Cato Cruz.
Cato.
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 Pink Panther.
Cato.
I'd like to know what law school he graduated from.
Yeah.
Yes. Stanford?
Well, he was a district judge in Colorado before. Oh, no, he's a nominee for district judgeship in Colorado. So
there should have been a buzzer on Senator Kennedy's desk.
By the way, he was enjoying that moment, you could tell, because from the time of the very first question, he knew that this nominee didn't know what he was talking about. That's why he kept kind of pushing it. Mm-hmm. He was trying to make his point that this person might not be qualified.
The only thing he didn't say, which I might have said because I'm a little snarky, is you don't know what a Brady motion is now, but I bet you're going to know what it is tomorrow.
How about Do you have a last sense for that, Minky?
All right, I'm looking something up here real quick to see if I can answer the question.
Listen, if it's a Pink Panther, if it's an Inspector Clouseau imitation, I can do it.
Yep.
You just tell me what you want me to say.
Cato Cruz got his law degree from the University of Arizona.
Hmm.
Well, that's not their finest moment, is it?
I don't think so.
Listen, I really am surprised. How does a law school graduate never come across that particular case? That's
amazing.
A foundational mm-hmm. case with regards to our legal system. Yep. Anyway.
And if I'm a prosecutor, I'm praying I get before that judge.
Yes.
But not, no, if I was a crooked prosecutor, I should say. All right. We have another fine moment in women's sports. They had the running of the Randall Island Criteriums on Sunday. The Criterium is a bicycle race, a professional bicycle race. I didn't know this, but the Los Angeles has a team called the LA Sweat. How'd you like to be part of that? I'm so proud to be part of the LA Sweat.
Part of the Sweat.
I think I would go seeking some sponsorships from some deodorants if I was them. But
the Los Angeles Sweat.
That's neither here nor there.
Not exactly clever, but go ahead.
They had the Randall Island Criterium, and a man named Tiffany Thomas won the event. And so...
Good.
Yeah.
I say good, and this is why I say good, and then you continue on with the story. The more times this happens, where women get cheated out of a shot at a championship or a scholarship or the win of a race, whatever, the sooner this nuttiness will cease.
You've been talking to your president, haven't you?
Listen, I've been wired up all day. All right, go ahead. So what? Well, so what else? So this is a man who claims he's Tiffany.
Yes.
And he won a bicycle race against women.
And by the way,
real women.
I'm done with, first of all, I never use the word transgender woman to refer to a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm done with biological male. That's redundant, and it clouds the issue excuses the issue. From now on, it's a man in the women's restroom. It's a man that won the race. It's a man that's swimming on the girls' team.
But at some point, you do have to let the listener know that this is a man who claims to be a woman.
They probably figured that one out. I mean, because I don't think we're letting anybody that doesn't identify as a woman on women's team or in women's bathrooms. I mean, maybe because they can't tell. I mean, how do you know? But, yeah, that's a little
Pet peeve.
Pet peeve I've
got. I have several.
Yes.
And you got to cherish the pet peeves.
Yes.
Because they make life worth living.
We're going to go to some state issues right now. On the national news, now down to state news. There's a state representative in Texas. His name is Tony Tinderholt. Now, Texas came up with one of these routine bills that honors a specific event or day or whatever. Congress sends out, it's St. Patrick's Day, whatever.
Right.
Well, this was the Texas legislature that was going or wanted to pass a Ramadan observance. You know, we stand with our Muslim friends on this Ramadan day and everything. Well, this is what Tony Tinderholt wrote on a statement on his website. Today, I voted against a resolution made in celebration of Ramadan on the House floor. As a combat veteran, I served beside many local translators who were Muslims and good people. I can also attest that Ramadan was routinely the most violent period during every deployment. Texas and America were founded on Christian principles, and my faith as a Christian prevents me from celebrating Ramadan. I want to commend Dan Patrick for choosing not to join the House in this celebration.
Good.
Listen, first of all, I want to say the name Tony Tinderholt is an absolute gunslinger's name.
Isn't it?
From back 125 years ago, whenever gunslingers were around. You know, you hear that Tony Tinderholt is in town in Yuma.
You hide behind the water trough.
You hide. Tony Tinderholt is. That's a great name. Second of all, Fred, I agree with it. I don't think there's anything wrong if a Christian wants to sign something that says, congratulations to Muslims on whatever. Okay. Mm-hmm. But if it is celebrating Islam as a Christian, I'm not celebrating it.
No.
And nor would I expect a Muslim legislator if somebody ever put a resolution out celebrating Easter, mm-hmm. I wouldn't expect an Orthodox Jew or a Muslim or a Buddhist to sign on and say we celebrate Easter. Now, if they want to sign on to a resolution that says, hey, you know, it's a great country, everyone gets to do, you know, for Christians,
yes,
you know, congratulations on this, mm-hmm. I guess that's fine, but it's got to work both ways.
Well, a resolution to respect religious freedom in this great country.
Right.
I'd sign on to that. But we have, in this case, a gentleman who voted against it who has firsthand experience of how Ramadan is celebrated, air quotes, in Muslim countries.
Yeah.
Violent. There's an uptick in violence, as he says. So he's not going to celebrate something that he experienced where people died or right. more people died during Ramadan.
Right.
Okay. I understand completely.
The yep. Dan Patrick he references at the end is the lieutenant governor of Texas.
Yes.
So it's a high position, and mm-hmm. they're doing their
So Tony, tip of the hat.
Tony, you like Tony.
Tip of the 10-gallon hat to Tony Tinderholt.
There you go.
That's not easy to say.
No, it isn't.
Tip of the 10-gallon. See, I couldn't say it again. Go ahead.
All right. Another state story. Governor DeSantis is following through on his pledges. He has canceled a drag event at a local high school in Orlando. This is the governor of the state of Florida tells a local high school in Orlando, nope, you're not doing that. They were going to have a drag and donuts day or a donut and drag day, and it was going to raise funds for a gay organization. It was put on by the Queer and Ally Alliance Club, which I said this morning is abbreviated quack. the governor sent him a letter, said it's not going to happen. And so the school district put this out. As a result of a call from the Florida Department of Education today, the event has been canceled. The department questioned whether the event was age and developmentally appropriate and indicated any administrator, teacher, or staff member in attendance may be investigated and jeopardize their professional license.
Mm-hmm. Fred,
yeah, playing around in Florida.
I'm struggling to what I was going to say is I'm struggling to understand how we got to this place. Mm-hmm. I really do understand how we got to it. It's one step at a time down the staircase into hell. Okay, folks, not as a cuss word. I'm talking about the literal place.
Yes.
All right. I really do understand that, but it still boggles my mind that a school. I don't care if it's pushed by a student group or not. A school is pushing a drag show, all right? And there are people shrugging their shoulders over this.
Yep.
It's just mind-boggling, I guess is the better way to put it.
Or a parent that would condemn the government or the governor for doing this. Look, these are probably the same schools that would forbid a Good News Club.
Yeah.
After-school Good News Club, Bible Club. They would forbid that because they're worried about lawsuits or something of that nature. But you're right. You know, how is it? I mean, I'm getting on in years. I'm past 65, so right. I know I'm an old guy.
Yeah.
But I look back at my school days and the teachers that taught my classrooms. You got in trouble if you flicked a piece of clay onto the ceiling with your ruler.
Right.
I mean, you got in big trouble. I mean, it was very strict. You went to a Catholic school.
I went to an all-boys Catholic high school.
Yeah.
We got in trouble for lots of stuff.
For lots of stuff. But for schools to think, maybe this is a good idea to allow these men to come in dressed as women. Let's expose our students to that.
And they dress like women for the purpose of perverting
yeah.
nature.
It is a celebration of sexual perversion.
Yes.
That's what this is. Do you really want kids exposed to that? And I'm sad to say there are school officials who say yes to that question.
Yes.
They say, yes, we want our kids exposed to sexual perversion.
Right.
Shame
and a
on
twisting
them.
Of gender. It's, listen, it is a complete darkening of our culture morally.
Mm-hmm.
It is a degrading of our human nature and the image of God that we've yes. been given. And to your point, I remember getting into trouble in high school for taking this is what a bunch of guys used to try to do. The teacher turns his or her back to the class. We would take our sharpened pencils and fling them up to hit the ceiling tiles to get them to stick. And so you're keeping track of how many. So the teacher would turn around, and there'd be three or four pencils up. They would, no, they'd stay. If you had a good day, they stayed up in the tile.
So I got a question for you. At your Catholic school, was the Board of Education applied to the seat of learning?
No, but I did see the vice principal punch a student in the face once.
My junior high was a Christian school, and there was a paddle that we all signed at the end of the year.
Well, don't forget, this is New Hampshire, and up in New England, that spanking and corporal punishment was on the way out, whereas here in the South, in Texas, places like that. You were in California.
California, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I lived in the days of leather straps. A teacher had a leather strap in her.
In the class?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
A leather strap.
My dad lived in that
That's
day.
That's serious.
And, oh, yeah. And you put your hand out. And if you took your hand back as she was delivering them and it happened to hit her knee, you get 10 more.
That's, well, the belt was always at home. That was yeah. always – I always told people I don't want to get into too far off into the weeds because Steve usually has something to close us with. Let me just put it this way. That belt from my dad was like nuclear weapons. You hope they're never used, but you knew the possibility was there.
That's right.
So you never went up to that line.
It was a deterrent.
Yes.
All right. Let's end here. We've got a couple breaking news headlines I want to bring you from our favorite absolutely true website, the Babylon Bee, which never does anything that's not absolutely 100% true, he said.
Yes.
So right now we've got a vow, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer vowing that the Democrats are going to arrest as many political opponents as it takes to defeat fascism.
Okay, so folks, I hope you caught the sarcasm in Steve's voice. The Babylon Bee, if you've lived the last 5 years under a rock somewhere and you don't know, the Babylon Bee is a satirical website, but that's perfect satire. Yeah. They are using a fascist approach to make sure we don't slip into fascism.
Yes, and in Maine, there's a school, a teacher there is expressing concerns that Johnny's not transitioning up to his full potential.
Not transitioning up to his full potential.
Yeah.
Fred, what do you think of that? Maybe we should go back to our discussion of corporal punishment when we were growing up.
It's funny, and it's good that we can laugh at some of these things. Yep. But the reality is our education system has led the way in perverting the minds of our kids. You know, you're asking, how do we get this way?
Yeah.
Largely it has come through the education system and the entertainment system. Yeah. You know, we've both been around long enough to remember, you know, Archie Bunker.
Right.
And All in the Family. We laughed at these things, MASH, those kinds of shows. But they had political agendas.
Yes.
And so that's the way, you know, entertainment through our education system. But wow, what a change in the last 50 years.
Boy, no kidding.
And I think, here's the good news, people are waking up.
Yes.
They're waking up to this. And that's why you're seeing 20, 30 states across this country starting to bring in laws to try to bring us back.
Yes. Well, and I will say this, and we've said this for years on this show, only God can save America now.
Yes.
I mean, we are at a stage of corruption that requires divine intervention.
Mm-hmm.
And that has to come through revival and awakening. And perhaps awakening is what is happening as parents are waking up.
Yes.
As opposed to woke.
Yes.
Awakening versus woke. I'll take awakening every time. All right, okay. Folks, that's all the time we have. You've been listening to Today's Issues. More great programming directly ahead on this network, which is American Family Radio. Lord willing, tomorrow it is Trivia Friday.